Now a logo appears, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Home Video. Another logo. Again, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Pictures. Now a title reads, St. Anne's Academy, 1968. Inside, a nun stands before desk rows of students.
Who can name all the apostles? Yes, Dolores.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Eyes twinkling, a 10-year-old black girl smiles broadly.
Dolores Wilson, you are the most unruly, disobedient girl in this school. Now, I want you to march right up to that blackboard and write the names of all the apostles alphabetically.
Dressed in a school uniform, Dolores approaches the blackboard with a bouncing strut and knowing smile. Her grinning classmates shift eagerly in their seats. She writes the names John, Paul, Peter, then in larger letters and underlined Elvis.
This is enough. You are hopeless, and I wash my hands of you. Mark my words, Dolores, if you continue on this disruptive track, it will lead straight to the devil. Have you any idea what girls like you become?
Dolores' pout breaks into a toothy grin. Now a glittering casino lounge. Hair teased into a voluminous lacquered bouffant, a middle-aged Dolores grabs a microphone on the casino stage. She sings with a sunny smile, flanked by two plump black female singers with puffy, bubble-shaped hair. Dolores wears a snug, sparkling gold dress with a high slit up the right side. Squeezed by the tightness of their metallic lamé dresses, the two singers sway to the music in sync, following Dolores' lead. A red-tinted glow fills the lounge, studded with flashing lights. Disinterested patrons sit in rows at slot machines. A bar with computerized individual gambling stations rims the stage. A few men drink at the bar. Behind them, several vacant audience tables. Dolores' smile fades into a glowering frown at a bearded elderly man in a baseball cap who sits at the bar, focused on the flat gambling panel. Titles appear. Touchstone Pictures presents in association with Touchwood Pacific Partners, a Scott Rudin production, an Emil Ardolino film. Whoopi Goldberg as Dolores in Sister Act. Maggie Smith as the Mother Superior, Harvey Keitel as Vince LaRocca, Bill Nunn, Mary Wicks, Kathy Najimy, Wendy McKenna, and Joseph Marr. Co-producer, Mario Iskovich. Casting, Judy Taylor, Linda Gordon, and Johnson Liff and Zerman. Original music and adaptations by Mark Shaman. Costume designer, Molly McGinnis. Edited by Richard Halsey, ACE. Production designer, Jackson DeGovia. Director of photography, Adam Greenberg, ASC. Executive producer, Scott Rudin. Written by Joseph Howard. Produced by Terry Schwartz. Directed by Emil Ardolino. Dolores winces in dismay as the two singers remove their mic stands, then lean toward her for the chorus. Still grimacing, she bends with the women as they shrug their shoulders in staccato rhythm to the music.
All right, wrap this up, okay? Wrap it up.
I will follow him wherever he may go.
Pulsing slightly, Dolores bares her teeth and wrinkles her nose. Her brow creases in an irksome frown. Sweeping her arms back and forth, the backup singer on her left waves a gold lamé-gloved hand in front of Dolores' face. Dolores stops moving and glares at her.
He is my destiny.
I love him, I love him, I love him.
And where he goes,
a sparkling crescent moon hangs in front of the baby blue shimmering curtain. All three women stand profiled in a line. Their arms and legs shift as if walking in place. Outside, a glittering marquee reads Nevada Club. Below, a fluorescent band of light with the words, In the Lounge, the Ronells. Now a bedroom in Reno.
So, I guess eating is out of the question, huh?
The next show's in 20 minutes.
You still haven't told me what she said.
Well, who said?
opposite. The one with the mustache, the one you're married to.
A middle-aged, brawny man pulls on an undershirt.
You are so damn hot.
And you are so full of it. You didn't tell her, did you? I knew it. I knew you weren't going to tell her. I knew it.
Dolores, clad in a skimpy silk robe, pushes him away and sits on a bed.
I want us to be together, babe. I want us to be an honest, decent couple. I do. I went to confession today.
You went to confession? Like confession, confession?
You know where you kneel in the box, you tell the priest your deepest secrets? I did that today for us, babe. I told Father Antonelli I was in love, and that it was a special love. A love for all the ages, and that I want to be with her.
And what did he say?
He said that if I got divorced, I'd burn in hell for all eternity. Hand me my loafers down.
You can get your own damn shoes. So what does this mean? Is this no? Does this mean no?
No.
What does it mean?
Not no, just not now.
Just get out, okay? Just go.
Dolores stalks into a dining room.
You want me to go against a priest? Get excommunicated?
Buttoning his shirt, he joins her. She crosses her arms and purses her lips.
Okay.
He sits at a table set for two.
I'll eat the thing you made. Is that what this is all about?
No. That's not what it's about. It's about you leaving. Good night. Good night.
He stands. A bright marquee glows outside the window.
I'll call.
He plants a kiss on her cheek. She averts her eyes. With a dubious frown, she watches him leave. Now, the casino lounge dressing room.
You're quitting just because he won't leave his wife?
No, not just because he won't leave his wife. I'm quitting for a lot of reasons. It's something I have to do.
What's going to happen to the act?
You know what's going to happen to the act? You're going to get somebody else. It's not a big loss.
Well, you put everything together. You pick all the music. You tell us where to stand and everything.
Yeah. And I'm a real genius. That's why we're packing them in. And don't you pack any more of my makeup in that bag. Don't think I don't know what you're doing. What do you want?
Two men.
Huh? And don't you ever knock?
Hey, girl, you ain't got nothing that I haven't seen before, right?
Yeah, well, stop trying to memorize.
Hey, Michelle.
Oh, please.
Hey, Dolores, yes, from Vince.
A large box.
It's his dead body.
With love.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then why didn't he bring it down to me himself?
Oh, he wanted to, but he's got a big meeting upstairs. Hey, Dina.
Hi.
Could you say goodnight to these clowns, please? I'm getting a headache. I don't want them in here. Get out.
Let's go. All right, I'm going. Just take it easy.
Well, at least you got something out of all of this. Come on, Dolores, open this
up. Why should I open this? I don't give a damn what's in that box. I don't care.
I'll see what the man bought you. Come on.
Why?
I
want
to see it.
Fine, okay? Let's look and see what it is.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. It's mink. Yeah. It's purple mink, Dolores.
Oh,
that's beautiful. Look.
Feel.
Dolores drapes the downy-collared velvety coat over one shoulder and steps up to a full-length mirror.
Well, obviously, Mr. LaRocca feels he can win me back by sending me this absolutely fabulous coat.
Mm-hmm. Put it on, put it on.
It's beautiful.
But see, some girls will fall for that, but not me. I think I'm gonna make him wait a little while before I just let him know that I...
What?
An embroidered name tag.
Connie LaRocca. It's his wife's coat. That man gave me his wife's coat.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Put it back on. It's yours now. You deserve it.
No, I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. You don't earn other people's wife's fur coats, okay? I think it's time to just go upstairs and give it back to him. The hell out of this dump.
Dolores stalks out with a coat and another fur. Now the casino office.
How long you been with me?
3 years, Mr. LaRocca. Two as a croupier, one as your personal limo driver.
Ernie, you know what's important to me? What counts? Loyalty, my man. Loyalty is what counts to me.
Well, I've been very loyal, Mr. LaRocca.
Gee, Ernie, that's not what I hear. I hear you went down to the police station last night and talked with Lieutenant Salter. I hear you were there for over 3 hours.
Vince's two cronies, Joey and Willie, flank Ernie.
I went.
I went, but I didn't tell him anything.
Again, not what I heard.
Joey adjusts the silencer on his gun.
Goodbye, Vince. I'm leaving and don't try to stop me.
On the casino floor.
I'm going to L.A. where it's nice and warm. People don't need fur coats from their boyfriend's wife's closet. Goodbye, Vince. I'm going to Miami where the sun shines.
Now, above the casino.
I know they're trying to get something on me, Ernie. But so far, they've come up with bupkis. I called Willie and Joey in there, but they were out in 20 minutes. What were you doing there for 3 hours, Ernie?
Joey presses his gun to Ernie's temple.
I know you don't think I have any talent, Vince, but I do. And I'm gonna leave you. I'm going to Chicago.
Tell me what you told Sal.
Held up by his collar, Ernie trembles.
I won't be able to sleep tonight if I don't know.
In a hallway.
I always wanted to go to New York. I know if I went to New York, I could get some things together, Vince. I could.
Opening a door that reads private, she enters a waiting room.
That's all I told him, I swear it.
Thanks, Ernie. Now I can sleep. Say goodnight, Ernie.
No, that's all.
Dolores opens a rippled glass door. She steps back in shock. Joey hides his gun.
Babe.
She stares at Ernie.
Dolores. Is there a problem?
She gawks at Vince.
With the coat?
No, not with the coat. The coat's fine.
She bends to pick up both coats from the floor.
It's fine. Thank you.
Is that why you came here tonight to thank me?
Yeah. Thank you.
And to say you're sorry about tonight and the things you said. Forgotten. Completely. You understand me? Forgotten.
Of course, it's forgotten.
That's my girl. My girl, a mink. You be home?
Yeah.
Soon?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
She listens outside.
Hey, Vince. Is she okay?
I don't know, Vince. She seemed kind of upset. She did?
Yeah.
Marlon. Bring her back now for talk.
And if she runs, then what?
Take care of it.
Tossing the coats to the floor, Dolores bolts from the waiting room. Willie and Joey chase her through the casino's kitchen. Running in high heels, Dolores shoves a cook out of the way. The two cronies collide with a tiered tray on wheels, tripping over one of the cooks. Careening through a basement hallway of old slot machines, Dolores stops short at an intersection, turns right, then heads down another hall.
Which way?
Brandishing guns, they part ways at the intersection. Joey fires at her as she passes a slot machine. Coins cascade out of the slot as she rounds a corner. The two men meet up and sprint after her. Dolores, protected by a wall, peeks out to the right and watches them jog down a hallway in the opposite direction. After checking to the left, she takes frantic steps through an underground tunnel, then climbs up an iron ladder. Now, the brightly lit Reno Street outside the Nevada Club. Dolores emerges from the ground, pushing a frail grate up with her head. Scanning the street, she removes the grate. Downstairs, the two men take halting steps through the basement. Dolores pulls herself up from the rectangular hole in the ground and spots a cab.
Hey, taxi, hey!
She flags the taxi and hops in.
Hey, let's go, go!
As the cab pulls away, the two men emerge from the hole. They self-consciously tuck their guns into their jackets as they scope outside the Nevada Club, then return inside. Elsewhere, police cars sit outside an imposing concrete building. Now, a dimly lit office.
And then Vince looks at Ernie and says, say goodnight. And then Vince looks at Joey and Joey shot him. I mean, he just shot him in the chair. Just boom, he blew this guy away.
Sorry I'm late. I'm Lieutenant Salvin, Eddie Salvin.
How do you do? I'm Dolores Van Cartier. Listen, this guy was a simple limo driver, right? He was a limo driver, so maybe he made a couple of wrong turns in his life. That's no reason to kill him. I've never seen anybody kill before, except, you know, sometimes you pass on the freeway, you see a couple of people dead. But
Ms.
it's not
Van
the same
Cartier,
thing. What?
You're Vince LaRocca's girlfriend, right?
Well, you could sort of, maybe, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, the guy just tried to kill me, so I don't think that cements our relationship.
Well, you realize he's a major underworld figure, don't you?
He's into drug dealing, money laundering.
We've been investigating Mr. LaRocca for the last 18 months.
We've got videotapes. We've got surveillance photos.
Am I in any of the videotapes?
No, no, no. Criminal activity.
Oh.
The tapes aren't enough to convict him.
Apparently, there's a lot you don't know about Vince. I mean, the last two people that saw him in action kind of disappeared.
What do you mean they kind of disappeared? What is it? What do you mean?
Well, we found a piece here and a piece there.
But don't you worry. Here, have a cup of coffee. You're safe now, and we're going to see that you stay that way. That's our job.
If you help us, we can help you. If you testify against Vince about what you saw, we can put him away for the rest of his life.
Are you crazy? You're telling me this guy is a mad criminal and you want me to testify? Do you know what's going to happen? He's going to track
Dolores.
Me down. He's going to kill me.
Can I call you Dolores?
You can call me anything you want as long as you keep me alive.
We wouldn't put you at risk if we couldn't protect you.
Right.
It'll only take a couple of months to get a court date.
Just a couple of months? Only a couple? Why not a year? But a couple of decades,
man. 2 months, we had you out, then you testify.
No. No. No.
It's just for a little while, then you can come back.
Really? What are you gonna do? You gonna stick me in a bag and bury me? Forget it!
If you testify, I'm gonna put you in the last place on earth that Vince would ever look for you.
Eddie, a tall black man, grins. Now the Golden Gate Bridge, then a stone cathedral on a rundown street. An elderly nun plays an organ. She adjusts her hearing aid as a procession of nuns walk solemnly down the aisle. Dolores and Eddie enter through a stained glass door. She purses her lips sarcastically.
Nice church, huh?
Yeah, it's very nice. Look, what am I going to be, Quasimodo in the bat belfry? What is this?
I want you to stay here for a while.
Where?
In the convent. It's the safest place in the world. You think Vince is going to look for you in the convent?
What in the what?
The convent.
You must be out your... You know what? I'm gonna go back and work this out with Vince. You're a lunatic. You know, damn convent with these people. These people don't even have sex.
She storms outside. Eddie follows.
Dolores, Vince has a contract out on you for $100,000. And you seen what he can do? That one bullet, that's all it's gonna take.
No, look, let me explain something to you. Vince knows people all over the place. You realize that. He knows people all over the place. That means he's gonna be looking for me everywhere.
Everywhere but this convent.
Oh, come on.
Nobody knows you're here but me. We're trying to get you a quick court date, 1 month, 2 months tops. I promise I'm gonna spring you as fast as I can.
What am I gonna do here? I'm gonna go crazy here. There is nothing but a lot of white women dressed as nuns. What am I gonna do here?
He shrugs.
Pray.
Pray?
A stark hallway.
Yes, but Monsignor, we are a small convent. Surely there are more appropriate places.
We can save this young woman's life and imprison a parasite all in one gesture.
My heart goes out to her, of course. My concern would be she might subject the convent to danger.
The Reno Police Department assures me you'll be protected from any harm. They've promised to make a generous financial donation. And as you know, your small convent is in danger of closing.
Well, if they can afford to be so generous, so can we.
The Mother Superior opens a door to see Dolores, her face framed by a sprawling, frizzy bush of hair. Dolores meets her dismayed gaze with a surly stare.
Excuse me.
The Mother Superior glares at the silver-haired Monsignor.
Absolutely not. I couldn't possibly.
Well, think of it this way, Reverend Mother. She's an ideal prospect for rehabilitation.
That is not a person you can hide. That is a conspicuous person designed to stick out.
You have taken a vow of hospitality to all in need.
Her brow furrows. She looks down.
I lied.
He nods sagely. Frowning, she purses her lips and reopens the door.
Lieutenant Souther, everything is in order.
No. Everything is not in order. This woman does not like me.
Dolores, these are holy people. They like everybody.
I don't give a shit what you say. This woman does not like me.
No,
I'm not staying here. Forget it. I'm not staying here. I'm telling you.
Behave yourself.
I'm not gonna stay here.
Eddie closes the door behind him. Dolores slams a clenched fist down through the air. She spins around to face Reverend Mother and flashes a curt smile. Standing behind a large desk, the scrubbed nun manages a pinched smile in return. Dolores paces, her upcurved lips frozen in place.
What is your name?
Dolores Van Cartier.
Is that your real name?
Yes, I happen to be a singer.
Oh. Do sit down.
Thank you. Before we get started, I just want to say that I really appreciate what you're doing for me. I know it must be a huge inconvenience for you. Yeah, so I just, you know, wanted to say thank you up front. I also have always, and I've said this to people, I've always admired you people. Nuns, I mean, you know, you're so Catholic, you know. I mean, look, you're married to the big JC. I mean, you're his old lady. You know?
She pulls out a gold cigarette case.
It's an amazing thing to me. I mean, of course, she must be saying, well, it's much better than being hooked up with some kind of two-timing...
Please do not smoke in here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get so nervous. I get warped up. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Look, Miss Van Cartier, we have agreed to conceal and protect you, which we will do to the best of our ability. However, it is essential that you understand that you are not in a sorority or a speakeasy. This is a convent, a religious order, and there are certain rules you must obey. St. Catherine's is a place to commune and to pray, and I will not tolerate any disruption whatsoever with that communion. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good.
But do you understand I'm the victim here? Do you understand I'm the good guy? I mean, they just kind of threw me in here with you nuns. I mean, do you get that? I'm the good guy. I mean, I saw a guy get his face blown off. So why don't you just give me the key to my room? I'll lay low. You stay out of my face, I'll stay out of your face, and I will commune my little black ass in that room. Can you handle that?
I think it's a very good idea.
Thank you.
Well, it's almost lunchtime. Perhaps you'd like to freshen up. You'll certainly want to change.
Later.
I just hope you don't think I'm going to wear what I wore in Catholic school. No siree, no ugly green jumpers for me, and no stupid clunky shoes. Oh, with this gold thing, could you have a dry clean for me?
Open the cabinet to your left. You will find suitable attire.
Oh, cool.
In the chapel, a group of nuns kneel in their pews and pray. The nuns look up. Dolores, wearing a nun's habit, stares into a mirror with chagrin.
Oh, no. No. I can't do this. I'm sorry. This is fine for covering a little bulge, but now I've got holster hips.
People wish to kill you. Anyone who's met you, I imagine. A disguise is necessary to protect us all. And while you are here, you will conduct yourself as a nun. Only I will know who and what you truly are. You will draw no attention to yourself whatsoever.
But look at me. I'm a nun. I'm a penguin.
As from now and until you leave, you are Sister Mary Clarence.
Clasping her hands, Dolores bows her head and stares hard at Reverend Mother.
Mary Clarence, like Clarence Williams III from the Mod Squad?
Mary is in deference to our Holy Mother. The Clarence is in honor of St. Clarence of Concordia. There are three vows every nun must accept. The vow of poverty, the vow of obedience, and the vow of chastity.
I'm out of here with that.
She yanks Dolores back by her rope belt. Now in the convent dining hall.
Good afternoon, sisters.
I apologize for my tardiness. I would like you to welcome a new member to our house, Sister Mary Clarence.
They stand at the head of a long table. A young, portly nun waves.
Mary Clarence comes to us from a somewhat progressive convent. However, she is eager to embrace a more disciplined life, and I am sure will make every effort to conform to our ways.
I'll do my best.
Would you like to be seated?
Thank you.
Reverend Mother shoots her a grim look. Dolores walks past the nuns, standing behind their chairs. They turn to stare at her. She nods with a strained smile and wrinkled brow. Trying to suppress a beaming smile, the portly nun raises her hand.
Yes, Mary Patrick.
Reverend Mother, on behalf of all the sisters here at St. Catherine's, I'd like to offer a great big hi there and hello to Sister Mary Clarence. Hi. And as part of the welcome, I thought that maybe our new sister could offer today's blessing.
Well, that is very thoughtful of you, Mary Patrick, but I really...
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Sure.
The nuns cross themselves, then bow their heads.
Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we're about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger.
A few nuns glance up.
We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated.
Dolores sits next to a young mousy nun at the far end of the table, set with glasses of water and a few loaves of bread. A nun places a bowl of brown mush before Dolores.
Thank you.
Dolores frowns and fidgets. She turns to meet a benevolent gaze from the mousy nun, then pushes her food around with the back of her spoon. An elderly nun with a beaked nose manages a faint smile. Dolores tastes the mush. She spits into a napkin.
Gee, what are you people, a predicament order? This stuff is terrible. It tastes like
sisters. We shall spend the rest of the day in silence.
Well, why?
Only when our lips are silent may our prayers truly be answered.
Then you don't have to eat this food.
Silence begins now and ends at sundown.
How can you eat this stuff? It's terrible.
Mary Clarence, I think you might enjoy a ritual fast.
A ritual for... No, I don't think I would. I'd just put a little salt in it, it'll be fine. Look, I'm gonna have... Somebody pass me the salt over there.
A fast. To remind you of those who must endure without food.
A nun takes her bowl.
I don't want you to take my plate.
And silence.
The nuns eat. Dolores stares at the table. Later, in the convent's small, sunny garden surrounded by a high chain-link fence, several nuns weed and hoe, wearing broad-rimmed straw hats. Standing still, Dolores notices a plump, succulent tomato to her left. Her eyes shift subtly to her right. The young nun glances nervously up at her. Dolores bends and leans toward the tomato plant. She turns to cast a sly glance even further to her right. The beak-nosed nun glares at her forbiddingly. The double-chinned Mary Patrick, smiling impishly, waves a pair of clippers at her. Dolores snatches her hand up away from the tomato, pats the plant leaves, and flashes a weak smile at the stern, beady-eyed nun. As the sisters gather their tools and head back into the convent, Dolores leans down and, grimacing with effort, plucks the tomato from its stalk. She drops it into her habit pocket and follows the nuns, hoe in hand. Now, outside the police station.
I'll be let them drill me in there for 6 hours.
Can't control how long they're going to question you.
Did you go to law school, Larry?
Yes, I went to law school, Vince.
Did you graduate?
Hey, I'm a lawyer. Of course I graduated.
Hey, Vince.
Eddie pulls up.
Nice talking to you. See you in court.
You got nothing on me, Souter. If you don't stop harassing me, I'm going to...
What? You're going to what?
Nothing, Lieutenant. What my client is trying to say is that...
He said he's scared. And you know what? He should be. Real scared. See you around, boys.
Vince, Willie, Joey, and Vince's lawyer walk across the parking lot.
Something's going on. He's so damn cocky.
Yeah, he's bluffing, Vince. Don't worry about it.
Vince raises a finger at Joey.
You find Dolores?
She's gone. We don't know where she is, and she hasn't been back to her place all day.
He's got Dolores. We gotta get her back. Fax the rate by 10 to every contact we got.
I can't hear this.
Dolores Van Cartier, a quarter of a mil, dead or alive.
Now, the church's steeples rise against a polluted cityscape at dusk, inside the convent.
This is your cell, Mary Clarence.
My what?
Your cell.
Your room.
She opens the door to reveal the room's bare walls, bedside lamp, and single arched window.
Oh, man. No wonder you waited till now to spring this on me. It's like a nightmare. Where's the rest of the furniture?
Our lives are simple. We have little need for material possessions.
This is out of the Stone Age. Where's the phone?
Whom would you call?
I don't know. Satan?
Your cell is more than adequate.
Fine. What do we do now? Pray what?
It's 9 o'clock. Pleasant dreams.
Wait. Are you telling me we go to bed by 9?
If I were you, I would use this time to think about my life and its direction, or lack thereof.
There's nothing wrong with my life. You know, before I came here, I had a career, I had friends, I had clothing that fit. Before I came here, I was okay.
Oh, really? From what I've heard, your singing career was almost non-existent, and your married lover wants you dead. If you're fooling anyone, it is only yourself. God has brought you here. Take the hint.
She leaves. After peering out after Reverend Mother, Dolores closes an oval fortified window in the door. She walks solemnly past a large crucifix on the stark wall over to her bed. Sitting heavily on the single mattress, she glances around the room glumly. Simple iron-barred headboards sit at either end of her bed. Another wooden crucifix shares the bedside table with her small lamp. Just before sunrise, our view sweeps down the church's double steeples, past the convent and church facades, to a damp road below. A street sweeper rolls by. Now, Dolores' dark cell. The door window swings open.
Merry Clarence.
What?
Up and at 'em. We don't want to be late.
What time is it?
Well, it's almost 5, Sister Sleepyhead.
5 a.m.? Get out of here. I just went to bed 20 minutes ago. Get out of scram.
Come on, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
Mary Patrick beams down at Dolores. Now the church pulpit.
We are a small congregation this morning. Too many mornings. Something has gone terribly wrong. Where is faith? Where is celebration? Where is everyone?
A handful of people listen.
Still, rather than regret the absence of our neighbors, let us rejoice in the fellowship of those present. Our choir mistress, Sister Mary Lazarus, has informed me that our choir, while always superior, has been toiling especially hard on this week's selection. Sister.
The Monsignor nods to Mary Lazarus. She faces the loosely assembled choir and signals to begin. The pianist grins enthusiastically to reveal a set of dentures with an overbite. Mary Lazarus lifts her hands to conduct. Sitting in the audience, Dolores observes, incredulous. The nuns stand on a raised stage near the pulpit. Scaffolding looms in the pews across the aisle and behind the choir nuns. Monsignor winces.
Sing with us, ye seraphim.
Heaven, heaven and earth.
Reverend Mother shuts her eyes, then looks down. The frail young nun holds her hymnal close to her face, meekly parting her lips. Most of the other nuns, excluding Mary Patrick, are middle-aged to elderly. In the audience, Dolores grimaces deeply. Monsignor, sighing, turns to face the sparse congregation. Now a Xeroxed photo of Dolores.
There was a raid on a pawn shop in L.A. this morning. The place was fencing stolen property. They found this.
Database hoods. What a wonderful world, huh? Beloved daughter missing. Reward of $250,000. Please find our adored angel. We miss her so dead or alive.
Vince is getting desperate. So where'd you stash her, Eddie?
Where'd I stash who?
You're not even going to tell us?
I wouldn't even tell the Pope.
He stares frankly up at his two partners. Now, in a workroom, Dolores sits at a table trying to thread a bead with gnarled wire. The bead flips off and falls to the floor.
I'm not gonna get this. This is a little too complicated for me.
Don't you worry. You'll get the hang of it. I'll help you.
Thank you.
Mary Patrick.
Are you always this cheerful?
Am I? Mm-hmm. All right, I am. I know it. I can't help it. I've always been upbeat, optimistic, perky. Even as a child, my mother used to say, that girl is pure sunshine. She'll either grow up to be a nun or a stewardess. Coffee? Enough about me. What about you?
Yes, what convent did you come from?
The young nun.
I came from the convent of the Sisters of the Moonlight in Reno.
Oh, I love Reno.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you would have loved us. We were a pioneering kind of order. You know, we'd never wear any kind of habit this tight, though. This is really tight.
Oh, I must say, our habits do cut you at the neck. Just a bit.
Yeah. Here, 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 here.
Mary Lazarus taps the table with pliers.
Vanity. A progressive convent? Sounds awful. I like my convent in Vancouver. Out in the woods. Wasn't all modern like some of these newfangled convents. We didn't have electricity. Cold water, bare feet, those were nuns.
Sounds wonderful.
It was hell on earth. I loved it. This place is a Hilton.
Sister Mary Clarence, when did you get your call?
What call? Oh, the call! The call! I didn't know which call you made. I was working in Reno, and I got the call. And you don't know how hard it is to get a call until you've worked in Reno, you know.
Reverend Mother enters.
We ministered to a lot of different kind of people. Newlyweds, hookers, gamblers.
What a joy. How fulfilling to be able to get right in there with your hands and work with the people. And Reno is probably bursting with sin.
It was. That's why I had to leave. I mean, we had a hooker living next door called Buckwheat Bertha, who would...
Sister Mary Clarence, could I have a word with you?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Get on with your work. Quickly, please.
Just talking to him.
Precisely. Enough chatter. Chores.
She escorts Dolores out. Now, outside, two young black boys sit in a small lot listening to a boombox. Dolores brushes an iron railing of an open stairwell with a coarse brush, which slips out of her flailing fingers and falls a couple of stories to the ground. On her hands and knees, Dolores scrubs the dining hall floor. Later, she lifts dirty bowls from the lunch table and puts them into a rubber bus bin held at her hip. In the church, standing behind a pew, a cringing Dolores dribbles a few drops of oil on the pew before her and half-heartedly wipes a cloth over the oil. Outside, singing with gusto, she sashays back and forth behind a station wagon, flinging sudsy water across its back window with a cloth. She tosses the cloth up into the air, catches it, and runs it along the car frame. Reverend Mother, at an upper window, shakes her head curtly. Dolores peers up at her with a wincing smile. Later, Dolores scrubs graffiti from a courtyard's iron gate. Her scrub brush freezes mid-stroke. She turns to see a golden mud on the ground. Smiling, she tosses the brush into a bucket, then ambles past a wall saturated with colorful graffiti to sit beside the dog on a chair surrounded by garbage. She scratches behind its ear and looks up at the street. Nighttime.
Yeah, I need to talk to Eddie Souther. Yeah, it's an emergency.
From Reverend Mother's dark office.
Souther.
Eddie, you gotta get me out of here.
Dolores, you can't call me here. Somebody's gonna catch on to where you are.
But I'm going insane here. All these people do is work and pray. Work and pray, that's all they do.
Calm down. Look, I didn't want to tell you this, but we got some problems here.
Well, what kind of problems? What do you mean problems?
Keeping our witnesses alive. I mean, we hide them, but there's a leak in the department, and some of them end up dead.
What?
Just sit tight.
You don't seem to understand what I'm saying. I am in a nightmare. This is my nightmare. It's a nightmare, man. Get me out of here.
I mean it. Don't call me. It's not safe. I'll be in touch.
Hello? Hello?
She stares at the receiver. Later, the young nun, holding a plastic daisy-like flower, steps hesitatingly down the hallway up to a cell door. A nervous smile creeps to her face as she approaches, checking behind her briefly.
Yeah.
She enters Dolores' cell.
I brought you something. My brother gave it to me when I was a little girl. I could never seem to get up on time, so I set it for 5.
She hands over the flower clock.
Out of bed, you daisy head. Out of bed, you daisy head.
It always made me laugh.
Out of bed, you daisy head.
I thought, being away from your convent, that even someone like you could get lonely.
Have a seat.
Their eyes meet warmly. The delicately featured nun with mousy bangs sits at the foot of the bed.
So which one are you?
Mary Robert.
You have a little trouble getting up at 5 o'clock too, Mary Robert?
Oh, not now. I get up a half an hour early just to make sure. It's not just the mornings, it's that all my life, everybody seems to be doing or catching on to things a second faster, better than me.
Yeah, well, everybody's playing catch up nowadays. So, Mary Robert, did you always want to be a nun?
I always knew that was my calling, to lead a life of service. But you see, I've always felt that there's something inside me that I want to give. Something that's only me and nobody else.
Does that sound like a terrible thing? Like pride?
No. It doesn't sound like a terrible thing at all.
I'm so happy that you've come to join us, Mary Clarence.
Mary Roberts smiles shyly at Dolores, then stands, pausing at the door.
Do you know how sometimes it's as if you have to be yourself or you'll just burst?
Yep, I do.
Good night.
Good night, Mary Robert.
Mary Robert leaves. Dolores takes the flower clock from her bedside table. Dolores's back straightens attentively. She peers up at the window above her bed. Through its iron bars, we see the seedy street outside. Various people loiter around parked cars. Neon signs glow in bar windows. Dolores smiles to herself and sets the flower aside. She tiptoes carefully down the hall. Mary Robert pokes out of her cell alcove, looks down the hall, and keeping close to the wall, sidesteps cautiously after her. Mary Patrick emerges to see Mary Robert sneaking off. Her eyes bulge. Still wearing her habit, Dolores crosses the street in front of the convent, rubbing her hands together enthusiastically. Mary Robert takes anxious, bird-like steps after her. Dolores heads toward a bar next to a laundromat. Several motorcycles sit parked in front of the bar. Inside, red neon lights glow on the walls. Dolores enters. Several patrons turn around to gawk. Her gaze spins from pool players to a burly bouncer and a blonde woman who meet her gaze with cynical stares. Grinning, she struts up to a man in a leather vest with muscular arms.
Ooh, nice tattoo.
The man in the vest stares coldly at her. She walks past amused, gaping bikers sitting at the bar.
Hey, sister. Hey, this jukebox got anything on it from Sound of Music?
A man with a brown goatee drapes his arm over the rounded top of the jukebox. Dolores musters a patient smile. He drops a coin into the slot. She makes a selection by pressing a button, then looks up at him defiantly.
Hey, baby!
Want to dance, sister?
Why? You don't have any rhythm.
She approaches the bar. A biker crosses his feet on top of a nearby stool.
Young man, take your foot down off that stool. Now have a seat. Have a seat.
Pinching his ear, she yanks him to his feet.
Can I have a Coke, please?
She sits on the bar stool, rocking back and forth to the music as she waits. Mary Robert, struggling with the weight of the door, slips into the bar. She steadies herself, stunned. Dolores sees her, rolls her eyes wearily, and steps away from the bar. Mary Robert prances up to her. Mary Patrick enters.
Look, you have to go. You have to go. Wait. Oh, never mind. Go. Just go that way. Just.
At the door, a brawl. Dolores ushers them away.
Expecting any more of your friends?
The bartender. Now on the dance floor.
You guys want to tell me what you're doing here?
Well, I thought that you might be ministering to the winos the way that you did in your convent in Reno, and I thought I could help.
And I saw her leave, and it was very late, and so I followed it. What are you doing here?
I'm here to see a man about a car for the convent.
Really?
Yes.
You it?
No, I didn't, and I'm going to get you out of here. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, a jukebox. Oh, one song.
No,
do you have
no.
Come on, he does. All right. It'll come back to you tenfold. Thanks.
Hurry up.
Mary Patrick's eyes roll back in ecstasy.
Oh, I love this song. Gimme tonight. One dance, I'll be right back, please.
Dolores glares at the goateed man as Mary Patrick, scrambling with excitement, drags Mary Robert to the dance floor. She grabs Mary Robert's hands to dance. Wide-eyed, the frail nun stiffens and flees. Unfazed, Mary Patrick closes her eyes blissfully and sashays a few steps forward. Opening her eyes, she beckons to a slender black woman. Holding hands with the woman, she leads an awkward, jerky jitterbug, a rhapsodic grin stretched across her face. Swinging around, she glances at Dolores and Mary Robert. They exchange a smile. Dolores shakes her head and heads for the dance floor, where surrounding couples observe with delight. Dolores breaks in.
Yes.
Let's go. Go, go.
I love this song.
You have a lovely time. We'll be back.
Yes, we will. Good night.
Bless you.
Dolores steers them out.
This turns into a nun's bar. I'm out of here.
Outside, the three nuns scurry across the street. Inside the convent. Rounding the corner, they stop short in their tracks. Standing in the hallway, Reverend Mother greets them with an icy stare. Dolores looks away. Mary Robert fingers her collar fretfully. The next morning.
The sisters have made clear to me that they followed you of their own volition. But they would never have ventured out at all at night had it not been for your example.
But listen, they just don't want to be stuck behind these walls all the time.
These walls are the only protection they have. The streets are no longer safe for them, and they are certainly not safe for you. These robes no longer protect our sisters. The walls do.
I'm sorry. You really do care about them, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I care about you and your life. I shall ask Monsignor O'Hara and Lieutenant Souther to find a safer and more suitable situation for you.
Oh, no, come on, don't send me away, really. I mean, I'm just starting to get the hang of this. I mean, look, I'm not going to endanger anyone or anything else, I swear. What about forgiveness? Isn't that what you preach? There's got to be something around here that I can do that's not going to chip my nails or annoy anybody.
You're right, Mary Clarence. To err is human, to forgive divine. You may stay. But I shall restrict your activities to a single task.
What's that?
Singing. You will join the choir.
Choir? No.
You will sleep and you will sing. That will be your task until you leave.
No, the choir? I mean, have you heard them?
The choir, Mary Clarence.
Later.
Is this a choir rehearsal?
Sure is. Come on in, sing us, Bill.
Mary Patrick points to Mary Lazarus.
Soprano or alto?
Whatever. Thanks.
She hands Dolores a hymnal. Dolores joins the nuns, welcoming smiles spread across their faces. Dolores's mouth freezes in dismay.
Mary Clarence, are you with us?
I don't know this one. I better sit this one out. Excuse me.
Reverend Mother says Mary Clarence has a background in music.
Really, Mary Clarence? Were you a choir mistress?
Sort of freelance.
Freelance? Really? Oh. You don't think I see? You think I took vows yesterday? I know what you're up to, you and Reverend Mother.
What?
You're a ringer. She brought you here to replace me, out with the old.
Their faces light up.
Oh, could you help us, Mary Clarence? Mary Lazarus, you're terrific, but we could really use some help.
Please, you've heard us.
We're terrible.
Well, there's a word for this, mutiny. So, Mary Clarence, you think you can do better? I believe I'd like to see that. Go ahead, sister. Make them sing.
Mary Lazarus thrusts her baton at Dolores. Dolores's troubled gaze drops to the outstretched stick. She turns to the expectant nuns. A tall, elderly nun nods warmly at her. Dolores grasps the baton reluctantly, her brow deeply knit. As she approaches the conducting stand, she stares fearfully at the defiant Mary Lazarus. Stepping slowly up to the stand, she sets down her hymnal and faces the choir.
Okay. Okay. Where are the basses?
A few scattered hands rise.
Oh, you should be over here. And the altos? Where are you? Sister, why don't you join them? And sopranos, where are you? Oh, you've got to come down this way.
Sopranos stand together at one end.
All right, basses, I want you to give me a D.
Altos, I want you to do a third above that. Give me an F sharp. And sopranos, give me an A. Let me have Sister Alma play it one time so we all know what we're going to do, and we'll go from there. Sister, will you give me those notes, please? Okay, on three. One, two, three. Okay, very, very nice. Sister, what would you come over here, please? Just slide right in here for me, please. Right here. That's a powerful instrument you have there. But I think it's probably a good idea if we bring you down out of the rafters. I mean, everybody wants to be close to God. I'm just not sure you can do it vocally. Okay, so I need you to sing an octave below where you've been singing. And Sister Mary Robert, could you come stand over here, please? Yeah, come on over. I noticed that you're moving your mouth, but nothing's coming out. So I'd like to just hear you by yourself, if you don't mind. Sister Alma, could you give me an A, please?
Sister Alma sits preoccupied with her rosary.
Alma! Check your battery.
Smiling, she adjusts her hearing aid.
Give me an A, please. Okay, wait. Try this. Close your eyes. Visualize yourself in a room full of people, lots of silverware, people dropping stuff, talking loud, drunks, women with trays going, what are you gonna have? Your voice has to carry over the din. You have to get up over all of that to be heard in the back of the room where I'm sitting, listening, straining to hear you, okay? Keep that in your mind when we do this. Sister? We call that an A with an attitude. That's what you need. You have to put attitude in what you're saying. You have to think about what you're singing. It's not just quacking. This is rejoicing. You are singing to the Lord. Let's review those notes again and see if we can put it together. Sister? Basses, altos, sopranos. On three. One, two, three.
Oh, we did it. We actually sang.
That was insane. Yeah, you sang a chord for 2 seconds. The next thing you have to learn how to do is listen to each other. That's a big key. Big key. You must listen to each other if you're going to be a group.
I knew that.
It's Mary Lazarus. As soon as I walked in the door, I knew that you knew this. Now, you're somebody who's into hard work and discipline, aren't you?
Of course, I'm a nun. 4 popes now.
4? Wow. How often do they rehearse?
2 a week, a couple hours.
Not enough. I mean, listen to them. They really need a lot of work. They gotta rehearse every day.
She's good. What, do you think they really could get better?
I don't know. They're pretty raw.
Wet behind the ears.
Oh, please, let us try.
This is gonna be hell.
Tell me about it.
Mary Lazarus puts an arm supportively around Dolores. Now our view sweeps slowly through the convent hallway. Dolores lies on her bed, propped up against the wall, with her cell door wide open. She smiles contentedly, then closes her eyes. Now, inside the cathedral.
Welcome this Sunday morning, O ye few, but faithful. The choir, I'm told, has elected a new director, Sister Mary Clarence, who will lead them in Hail, Holy Queen.
As the Monsignor nods, Dolores steps in front of the choir. She points to Sister Alma. She pushes up the sides of her mouth, reminding the group to smile. In the pews, 2 nuns share surprised glances. Dolores smiles peacefully as she conducts. Mary Robert and Mary Patrick sing, wide-eyed, in the front row. Dolores gestures, okay. Reverend Mother smiles to herself. Reverend Mother purses her lips, other nuns gape. In the street outside, people pause. Four teenage girls in funky street clothes walk to the door.
Our life, our sweetness.
Mary Lazarus sings.
Oh, Maria, our hope in sorrow.
Now Mary Patrick sings.
Oh, Maria, triumph.
Now Mary Robert. As the girls from the street peek inside, the Monsignor grins and gestures for them to sit.
Alleluia.
Mater, amater, inter marata.
Sanctus, sanctus, dominus.
Vergor spice, mater, aspice.
Sanctus, sanctus, dominus.
Dolores spins around and bounces to the music. Two altar boys nod happily to each other and bop to the music.
Oh, Maria, triumph, holy
Mary Patrick's eyes bulge as a note washes over her. Dolores beams at the growing crowd in the pews. Reverend Mother scowls disapprovingly. Later, the choir listens outside her office.
Girl groups, boogie-woogie on the piano, what were you thinking?
I was thinking more like Vegas, you know, get some butts in the seats.
And what next? Popcorn? Curtain calls. This is not a theater or a casino.
Yeah, but that's the problem, see? People like going to theaters and they like going to casinos. But they don't like coming to church. Why? Because it's a drag. But we could change all that. See, we could pack this joint.
Through blasphemy? You have corrupted the entire choir.
The Monsignor joins the nuns outside the door.
How can you say that? I work my butt off with these women. They've given up their free time to do this, and they're good.
I mean, sister, we could rock this place.
Out of the question. As of tomorrow, Mary Lazarus resumes her leadership of the choir. Come in!
Reverend Mother, I just wanted to congratulate you. I haven't enjoyed Mass this much in years. What a marvelous program. Innovative, inspiring. You're to be commended. I can't wait till next Sunday when the choir performs again. Did you see the people walk right in from the street? That music, that heavenly music. Reverend Mother, it called to them.
It did?
I must tell the Archbishop. I'll send him a personal letter describing your efforts, your bold new fight to keep your little convent alive.
And you must also include this. This is something she would never tell you herself because this is the kind of woman she is. Sisters, she wants us to go out into the neighborhood and meet the people.
Oh, this woman.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, there are so many problems out there that we could maybe help with. I mean, that's why many of us became nuns. Oh, it's really marvelous, Reverend Mother.
There's a lot we could do for him besides pray, sister.
You're a pioneer.
Monsignor, surely you realize how dangerous this neighborhood is.
And you will face that danger head on. As if I could stop you.
You couldn't.
You have my complete support in this matter. Anything you can do to revitalize this neighborhood would be a blessing.
Don't you just love her?
The choir nuns grin. Reverend Mother closes her eyes in dread. Later, Dolores leads the nuns out through the graffiti-covered front gates of the convent. Wearing aprons and work gloves with their habits, they carry shovels, hedge clippers, brooms, and paintbrushes. Alma grins as Dolores shouts into her hearing aid and sends her off with a broom. Across the street, several people loiter on a burned-out, stripped-down car covered with spray-painted graffiti. Near an adult bookstore, Mary's Patrick and Lazarus sell raffle tickets. Other nuns paint a bright mural over the graffiti on the convent's outer stone walls. The choir practices choreographed arm movements. Parishioners drop dollars into an offering basket, and we glimpse a faded sign which reads, "Fix Our Roof." A thermometer-shaped gauge is painted halfway up to its $10,000 goal. Several nuns roll a Volkswagen Bug, devoid of its engine, into the convent yard. Later, two older nuns lean over another car's engine. As one tightens a bolt, a stream of oil spews into the other's face. On a sidewalk, Mary's Robert and Patrick watch Dolores jump rope, double dutch, in her stocking feet. Later, Mary Robert and several others serve soup and fruit to people off the street. School children admire the now finished mural. Its primitive images depict a row of nuns in a blue sky above a multiracial group of smiling people. Dolores and Mary Patrick copy the four funky-dressed homegirls who show them a hip-hop dance. They swivel their hips seductively, and Dolores freezes, grimacing in discomfort, then recovering. Mary Patrick goes wild, circling her rotund hips and waving her arms high in the air. Dolores and the girls slowly stop dancing, raise their eyebrows at the wildly boogieing nun, then turn and walk away. Mary Patrick giggles and runs to catch up. They smile and wait for her. In the church, the choir sways and claps. The offerings basket fills with dollars. On the Fix the Roof sign, red paint spills out above the $10,000 mark. Reverend Mother looks down into the convent yard, now filled with children. A reporter stands nearby.
Yes, the failing convent at St. Catherine's has truly come alive, thanks to the efforts of its popular choir.
In Vince's living room, his pretty blonde wife watches the news. We glimpse Dolores trying to duck from the camera's view.
Doors are open.
Vinny, get over here.
Into the community, establishing facilities like a daycare center and a food kitchen for the homeless. As a matter of fact, the
Vin, you've got to see this cute nuns.
I'm shooting pool.
Babe, we should send them money. They're do-gooders.
Attribute this reach-out philosophy to a new addition to the convent, Sister Mary Clarence. Who, unfortunately, is a little camera shy.
I'm gonna kill her. I'm gonna kill her myself.
In his own kitchen, Eddie watches TV as he cooks.
In related news, the Pope visits the U.S. and we'll have more on that in just a moment.
Now, on the sunny, clean steps of the cathedral, the Monsignor greets parishioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Inside, Dolores looks over some sheet music as Eddie walks by.
Hey, hey! What? Are you looking for me? What are you doing here?
How come I saw you on TV?
That was not my fault. These people just showed up, but it's been really good for the convent.
You're supposed to be hiding out. Remember bullets flying through the air at you? Ring a bell?
Yes. But I can't talk about it now because I have a show in 5 minutes.
Listen to yourself. This is not a career opportunity.
You don't have to tell me that. This would not be the place to begin a career.
Hey, just promise me I won't see you on the Letterman show, okay?
Okay.
Hey, I'm worried about you. I don't want to see anything happen to you.
Okay. You gonna come to the show?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Turning away, she grins to herself. Now in the packed church.
This Sunday's hymn is inspired by the lesson of Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene was a young lady with a past. Oh, yes. And she was no stranger to sin. She was no stranger to practically anybody. Many condemned her. The whole neighborhood, in fact. But one man refused to do so. One man said, hey, now, hold on, wait a minute. Listen to the girl's story.
He turns to the choir. Dolores walks forward with Mary's Patrick and Robert.
Hail, girls.
Hail, Mary. What's up?
Well, Jerusalem's become a real drag. Everybody hates me.
Uh-uh. Not that guy over there.
Who, him? They all say he's different. They say he's really weird.
We don't care what people say. To us, he's always there.
Really?
Mary's Patrick and Robert step back into line.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my God.
My God.
Nothing you could do, cause I'm stuck like glue to my God.
My God.
My God.
I'm sticking to my God like a stamp to a letter, like birds of a feather. We stick together, I'm telling you from the start, I can't be torn apart from my God.
Nothing you could do could make me untrue to my God.
My God.
Nothing you could buy could make me tell a lie to my God.
My God.
I gave my God my word of honor to be faithful.
And I'm gonna.
You best be believing.
I won't be deceiving my God.
As a matter of opinion, I think he's tops. My opinion is he's the cream of the crop. As a matter of taste, to be exact,
he's my ideal.
As a matter of fact,
no muscle-bound man could take my hand from my God.
As the whole
God,
choir sways to the right, Mary Lazarus turns
no
left.
No handsome face could ever take the place of my God.
Comes to being happy.
We are.
He's not a man today who could take me away from my God.
Let's take it home, ladies.
There's not a man today who could take me away from my God.
Give him some of that deep shoulder action.
Leaning forward with hands on their knees, they shrug up and down.
From my God.
Dolores grins. In the pews, the four homegirls spin their fists in the air and give each other high fives. The Monsignor claps. His smile droops at the sight of the stiff, dour-faced Reverend Mother in the front row. Later, in a wood-paneled room beside the apse.
Ladies, you were fantastic.
Sisters, you did good.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait till Sunday when we sing.
I'd rather sing than do anything.
It's better than ice cream.
It's better than springtime.
It's better than sex.
No, I've heard, you know.
Sisters, you're truly an inspiration. And I've asked you here because I bear remarkable news. Now try to remain calm. What I'm about to say is nothing short of a miracle. Well, I didn't believe it myself at first.
Monsignor, for goodness sake, what is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, sister. It's just that it's so momentous, I'm still adjusting to the shock. The Pope himself, has heard of our choir here at St. Catherine's. And when he visits San Francisco next weekend, despite his inordinately busy schedule, he's requested a special concert here on Sunday night.
No, no!
Oh, I'm dying, I'm dying.
Oh, sisters, this is indeed glorious news. Oh, Monsieur, we're both humbled and honored. And on such a supremely solemn occasion, I do feel a traditional program would be best.
And traditional like the old way?
We're speaking of His Holiness Mary Clarence, not a neighborhood block party. The pontiff commands the utmost respect and humility. Your more secular entertainments would be totally out of place.
But Reverend Mother, everyone loves our new style.
It's brought people back to the church.
And that's why he's coming. I mean, because we're doing something new and different.
Well, I feel this can be settled by a simple vote.
A vote?
Of course, Mary Clarence. A convent is not a police state. I'm sure the sisters are more than capable of reaching a mature and dignified consensus. Right. Now, all those in favor of performing a program of time-honored, sacred music, a truly spiritual repertoire, raise your hands.
Reverend Mother raises her own hand, and one older, bespectacled nun in the back of the room raises hers. Reverend Mother purses her lips.
All those in favor of allowing Mary Clarence to select a more worldly program, however inappropriate, raise your hands.
A grinning elderly nun shoots her hand up. With a shy smile, Mary Robert raises hers, then Mary Patrick, followed by all the rest, avoiding Reverend Mother's gaze.
The majority has spoken.
Reverend Mother, as always, you're a true leader, gracious and understanding.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful, Reverend Mother. You'll see.
I'm sure the presentation will be a great success. Congratulations, Mary Clarence.
Dolores looks up at her in meek discomfort.
And congratulations to you all.
She turns on her heel and walks away into the cathedral.
His Holiness, now we've got to get busy.
Now, Reverend Mother sits at her desk reading a document.
Come in.
You sent for me?
You have a phone call.
No.
Lieutenant Souther.
Ah.
Reverend Mother gets up and crosses to the other side of the room.
What?
Hey, Dolores. Great news. I pulled some strings. The judge agreed to move up the trial. We'll be in court in a couple days.
Really? That soon?
48 hours, you're a free woman.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, no, it's great.
Hey, well, don't thank me or anything.
No, it is. No, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Bye. Well, seems like your prayers have been answered. I'm gonna be out of here in a week. I'm leaving.
You're leaving?
Yeah.
That makes two of us.
What do you mean?
I have submitted my resignation to Monsignor O'Hara privately. I've asked to be relocated as soon as possible.
But why?
I must go where I can be of use.
But there's still so much to be done here. Look, if it's about me, I'm going to be gone.
Indeed. And after how long? A few weeks? I have been here for years. Well, too long, I suppose. I've become somewhat obsolete.
But you don't have to continue being obsolete. Look, everything that's happening here is a good thing. Sister, you can still be part of it.
Part of what? You know, Mary Clarence, it is one thing to rabble-rouse, to sweep into town and declare a holiday. You've raised the sisters' expectations. You've excited and confused them. They imagine this neighborhood to be some sort of delightful ongoing bake sale. Now, you and I know things are not so simple. There'll be disappointments and rude shocks, and you will have vanished. How fortunate.
She sits.
Look, I just got things going. You are a formidable woman. You could keep this going.
Could I? Even if I wanted to know. I fear I am a relic. And I have misplaced my tambourine. Good day, Mary Clarence.
But sister,
good day.
Dolores presses her lips together, then nods.
Good day.
Nighttime. In a kitchen, Mary Robert pulls ice cream from a freezer.
Ready? Ta-da!
Hey,
crazy woman.
What if you just...
It's ice cream.
I know that,
but... Well, it's a great big cuddly bear hug of a thank you from us to you.
Thank you to me. Thank you to you. I mean, when did you do this?
This is a sin. It's a wicked indulgence. Didn't they have any butter pecan?
I hope Reverend Mother doesn't catch us.
Yeah, let's keep it down.
Is there any syrup?
Mary Clarence, this morning in prayers, I thank God for bringing you to us. Since you've come, everything has just happened. Our choir is famous for one.
We could cut a demo. I could learn guitar.
Yeah, anything is possible. God works in mysterious ways.
That's true.
You know, anything could happen. I mean, any one of us could be transferred out of here at any given time.
Are you leaving us?
Dolores stares at her quart of ice cream.
No. Come on, no. What are you talking about? No, we're always going to be together.
Mary Lazarus pauses in mid-bite.
That's what Diana Ross said. Listen, that was a trio work quartet.
You know that. It's true.
Now, a balding clerk enters Eddie's office.
Just missed him. Souther just stepped up.
I need a signature on some things. This stuff can't be processed without it.
Well, just leave it here, Henry. I'll make sure he signs it when he comes in.
Henry shrugs with his mouth, then drops the file on the detective's desk and leaves. The detective glances around the room, then picks up the folder and secretively skims the papers inside. His eyes fix on a half-page receipt. It reads, cash disbursement voucher, special donation to convent, $10,000. The detective grins and picks up a phone, now Vince on the other end of the line.
We found them. Beautiful work. What's the address?
It's Church Street, 29th, San Francisco.
Henry meets Eddie at an elevator.
I thought you were gone.
Oh, get all the way to the car, no keys.
Tate said to leave the money vouchers with him. He said you'd sign them late.
Eddie's brow furrows in concern. He wanders away from the bewildered Henry, then runs down a hallway. In the detective's office, Tate hangs up the phone. Eddie socks him in the face. Now Eddie grabs him by the lapels.
Here's our leak, boys. Plug him up!
Get him out of here.
Let's go, Tate.
Back at the convent.
Hope. Tomorrow. Oh my gosh, I'll be so nervous. What if I forget the words?
You're gonna go straight to hell. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Come on, sisters. Rehearsal in 5 minutes. Go to rehearsal. I'll be there.
At an airport, Eddie jumps down the steps of a small plane and runs to a waiting car. Another man hands him a set of keys. Now, at rehearsal.
1, 2, 3, and slide. Sister, take over now. 1, 2, 3, together.
In the hall, Reverend Mother runs to the front door.
Oh, come in.
Where's Dolores?
Is something wrong?
They know she's here.
Oh, my goodness. She's upstairs with the choir.
The choir files out of the rehearsal room, Dolores at the end of the line.
Dolores.
Hi.
Look, Vince knows you're here. We gotta get out now.
Oh, but I can't go. We're singing for the Pope tomorrow.
Listen, you're gonna be singing for St. Peter if you don't get your ass out of here now.
But
she glances after the choir, then Eddie grabs her elbow and leads her the other way. Outside.
I can't do this. I can't leave. It's like I'm deserting them.
Hey, I think they'll understand.
No, you don't understand. They need me.
They need you. A bunch of nuns. What for? Moral guidance? What, makeup tips?
Let me tell you something. We are talking about the Pope. This means a great deal to them, and they have worked very hard for this, and they deserve it.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going to the little nun's room, nosy.
Dolores ducks back inside the convent and enters a door marked ladies. In the white-tiled bathroom, her eyes flit nervously under the doors of the stalls. Passing a row of bubblers, she presses her ear against another door. It leads to a wide back alley where workmen unload a truck. Dolores looks both ways, then steps outside.
There you are! We've been looking for you. Rehearsal's about to start.
Okay, let's go.
Surprise. Guess who? Rehearsal's this way, sister. Hey, Dolores.
Hi. Yeah.
All right.
Joey and Willie pop up behind Dolores and Mary Robert. Disguised as workmen, they point pistols at the women's backs and lead them away. Meanwhile, Eddie waits near the ladies' room.
Who are they?
Reno scum. Come on, man!
Eddie looks up in alarm, then runs outside. Joey and Willie shove the women into a car. As the big black limo speeds away, Eddie sprints after it.
Where are we going?
Sister here's got a special command performance.
Yeah, back at the Moonlight Lounge.
Look, why don't you just let her go? You know, she didn't have anything to do with this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. So she could run right to the cops, huh?
Look, you just go with the flow, okay? Relax, you do what I tell you to do.
At an intersection, a streetcar blocks their path. Dolores nudges Mary Robert and nods for her to jump out as they stop.
She's getting away.
You don't even have to worry about her, okay? You got the one you came for.
She's right. Let's go.
Eddie helps Mary Robert to stand up.
You all right? It's okay. I'm a cop.
They got Sister Mary Clarence and they've got guns.
Where are they taking
them? I'm going to sit in the Moonlight Lounge.
Come on, get out of
here. Okay.
They run to Eddie's car, then speed off after the limo. He burns rubber making a U-turn and narrowly misses another car coming from the opposite direction. Now, back at the convent.
You mean they kidnapped her?
Yes, two men, and they had guns.
Why would anyone kidnap a nun?
Were they Catholics?
She isn't a nun. She's a lounge singer. Her real name is Dolores Van Cartier. She witnessed a vicious crime and has been hiding in our convent.
She isn't a nun.
She lied to us?
But she was such a wonderful nun.
Look what she did with the choir. She made us sing beautifully.
Should have kept us.
Well, I don't care who she is. We can't sing without her.
She's our inspiration.
Grandmother, please, I know that you and Mary Clarence didn't always agree, but we've got to help her, please.
We've got to save her.
We can't leave it up to the feds.
No, calm down, Mary Robert. Think clearly. Have you any idea who these two men were?
Yes. They were from Reno, and they're taking her to the Moonlight Lounge.
Reno, Nevada. Mary Manuel, tell the Monsignor the situation.
Yes, Mother.
The rest of you, follow me.
Yes.
Now, in a helicopter hangar.
$1,500 for the run to Reno. That's $500 less than I normally charge.
But we don't have $1,500.
Well, then I can't fly you there. I'm sorry.
The nuns all cross themselves.
Look, I'm sorry. I've got some things I have to check out here.
Father, do not blame this young pilot for abandoning us in our hour of need. When he stands before you on the day of judgment, do not send him straight to hell.
Please do not treat him with the same disregard that he's treated us.
Just because he can't show charity to nuns, try not to leave him without rewards when he asks for them.
We know it is easier to answer the prayers of a man who has answered the prayers of others, but if he should come to you
for relief of pain or...
Such as rheumatoid arthritis, loss of hair, neck polyps.
Don't leave him bald and yowling in despair.
Watch over him as he refuses to watch over us. And if you cannot, we know that you will have done your level best.
What goes around comes around.
Sisters. Hold on a second.
Nighttime. Through the windows of a large passenger helicopter, we see Mary's Robert and Patrick looking down with wide eyes at the flashing neon lights of Reno far below. In Vince's office, Dolores sits tied to a chair.
What'd you think you were doing running to the cops, Dolores? Hiding out? Big no-no, babe. Bet you're sorry now.
I'm sorry for all my sins, Vince. And I'm sorry for yours.
I loved you, Dolores. I gave you everything. My affection, my time, a big-time career. How do you repay me? What's the thanks I get? Where's the loyalty? You shouldn't have done that to me, babe.
You'll be judged. We all will.
She smiles at him benevolently.
I don't get judged.
Vince, she's been acting weird since we picked her up.
It's like she's scared of nothing.
She's scared. Tell the boys how scared you are.
I forgive you, Vince.
He whacks her on the head with a rolled up paper. His smile vanishes.
Waster.
Vince winks at Dolores, then leaves. Our view returns to the gaudy, blinking skyline of Reno. Mary Robert holds her hands against her cheeks.
It's beautiful!
And what a lovely name, Reno.
And Gamora.
In the casino.
Oh, she was this doll. She used to wear this basket of fruit and I had to go take it to work.
Excuse me, Vince.
Joey and Willie.
Yeah. How you doing?
It's done? Not totally.
Vince pauses in mid-gulp of a drink.
What's the problem?
Well, Vince, we can't waste a nun.
What are you nuts talking about? It's Dolores in a costume.
Well, Vince,
Now, how do you know she didn't join up and become a real nun when she was there? Things like this happen.
Vince rolls his eyes in exasperation.
Because I know this woman, in the biblical sense, and she ain't no nun. Now, I don't want any more of this. Go in there and do it. Just don't come back till it's over.
Okay, it's done.
Back in Vince's office.
Okay, we go one, two, three, shoot.
Wait. We don't go one, two, and shoot on three.
Get over there.
Willie winces as they point their guns at Dolores' head. She gazes peacefully at the floor.
One. Two.
She closes her eyes.
Three.
Dolores opens one eye.
You didn't shoot. Neither did you. I figured if you did, I wouldn't have to.
That's what I figured.
Now, the nuns run across a landing pad. Willie and Joey untie Dolores' arms.
Dolores, we got it all worked out. Strip.
What?
Come on, take off the nun thing.
Yeah.
She kneels between them.
What is she doing? Oh, my God, she's praying.
Lord, I want you to forgive Willie and Joey, because they know not what they do. They're only doing what Vince told them to do, because Vince is too chicken to do it himself. So he's called upon these two men to take care of his business. So I want you to forgive them, Lord. Inspectum, spiritum, cacum, tutu, pluvium. Amen.
They cross themselves. Punching them both in the crotch, Dolores runs, leaving them gasping in pain. Later, she sprints through the casino's kitchens, the boys in hot pursuit. Dolores knocks a chef into a wall. She pauses. Dolores sprints up a stairway. Joey shoots. He misses, and Dolores disappears upstairs. The two thugs charge after her. Inside the Moonlight Lounge, Dolores skirts past crowds of people at slot machines. Willie and Joey barrel into the room, pausing to hide their pistols in their jackets.
Go find this.
Right.
In the street, the nuns scan the neon signs on all the buildings. They run across the busy four-lane street, their wooden rosary beads swinging and bouncing against their legs. Crowds on the sidewalk watch in mild amazement. The marquee above the casino door reads, "In the Moonlight Lounge, the Lirons." The nuns gather inside.
Brace yourselves, sisters. Spread out and look for Mary Clarence. Try to blend in.
The nuns fan out between the aisles of slot machines. Mary's Patrick and Robert stop at a blackjack table.
Hi. Excuse me. Sorry. Has anyone seen a nun, a Carmelite nun? No? Sure?
No. She's not really a nun. She's just posing as a nun. It was a great shock to us.
Mary Patrick drags Mary Robert away by the wrist. Meanwhile, Dolores spies Joey rounding a corner and joins a crowd at the roulette wheel.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Place your bets.
Red 23.
Sure?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
Dolores points knowingly toward the heavens.
Red 23.
Well, for two. Here.
What's for me?
Everyone at the table places chips on red 23. The wheel spins.
Red 14.
I was just trying to teach you all a lesson.
The players glare. Joey spots her.
Excuse me.
Dolores bolts. Elsewhere, a bespectacled nun yanks the arm on a slot machine. Reverend Mother and Mary Lazarus discover her.
Follow me.
Mary Ignatius waits for her to pass, then grins. Three police cruisers skid to a stop outside. Eddie jumps out with another detective.
Lock off the street, but don't move in until I tell you. Okay.
Inside, Dolores freezes. Vince and Willie approach on one side, Joey on the other. Now, the nuns swarm around her.
What are you doing here?
Oh, we're saving you.
Mary Clarence, you're safe.
They run in a pack.
Quick, now.
As the nuns break into smaller groups, Vince stops.
Joey! Vinny, there's 1,000 nuns here. What do we do?
You go to the left, you go to the right. I'm going to go down the middle.
All right.
Now, Eddie charges into the room.
Fight your back.
Catching sight of a nun waddling by, Willie skids to a stop. He glances behind him, sees another, and squints in confusion. Following the first nun, he stops and runs his hands through his thin hair. We watch from behind as Vince calmly follows another nun.
Hey, babe.
She turns around.
Yes, sweetheart.
He backs away from Mary Lazarus's severe face. Now, Eddie talks into a walkie-talkie.
Seal off the exits and get ready to move in.
Dolores gathers the nuns back together.
There's another way out. Let's go. Come. Excuse us.
People at the slot machines pause to watch the strange parade. As the nuns file through an access door into a back hallway, Vince, Joey, and Willie appear. All three move at once and get caught between two slot machines standing close together. Eddie sees them from across the room.
Move in now.
Now, Vince and his cronies burst into a darkened function room.
Willie, hit the lights!
The nuns huddle near an exit at the other end of the room. They all look up.
Freeze! Everybody! Joey. Where is she?
I'm right here. I'm here. Leave them alone. They don't have anything to do with it. Just... I'm here.
Dolores steps out into the open and faces Vince.
Calm down.
Vince sets his jaw and cocks his pistol. His eyes flit to Reverend Mother, then back to Dolores.
Joey, do it.
I can't, Vince. She's still a nun.
Vince rolls his eyes.
She's a broad. Got it? Just a broad.
I guarantee you she is no broad. She is Sister Mary Clarence of St. Catherine's Convent. She's a model of generosity, virtue, and love. You have my word for it, gentlemen. She is a nun.
You hear that? Now, aren't you glad we didn't shoot her?
Vince points his gun straight at Dolores. Eddie shoots him through a window.
Drop it!
Okay.
The gun's down. The gun's
down.
Drop it.
Okay?
Dolores and Reverend Mother hug warmly. Eddie approaches them.
I'm shot. What's the arm?
Are you okay? Sorry. Things got kind of out of hand.
Oh, just kind of out of hand? Boy, am I glad you're a much better shot than you are protector.
He grins affectionately.
Thank you.
All right, come on.
I was good to you. Right, we had a great thing. You sang in the hotel. Yeah,
come on.
Badly.
Come on.
How could you betray me like this? You are nothing! Get him out of here.
Right, Lieutenant.
I got two words for you, Vince.
Mary Clarence.
Bless you.
An officer drags Vince from the room.
Oh, hey!
I hold you responsible for all of this. For introducing a lounge act into my convent, for utterly disrupting our lives, and exposing us all to mortal danger.
Her face softens.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you all. I'm really gonna miss you guys.
We thought you were a nun, Dolores.
Van Cartier.
Sisters, we have a concert to do.
I thought you were leaving.
We can't both of us leave.
They both grin and turn to go. Now, Sunday in the cathedral. Glides over the blissful faces in the choir.
And near him I always will be. For nothing can keep me away. He is my destiny. I will follow him.
Still in her habit, but without the wimple, Dolores conducts. Her wild, frizzy hair hangs freely down to her shoulders, framing her bright, impassioned face. From above, we scan the immense congregation, then glide up into the balcony and behind the seated figure of the Pope, all in white.
Keep me away.
him wherever he may go. There isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high he can keep me away.
Mary's Robert and Patrick step forward. Robert sings lead.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh, yes, I love him.
I'll follow.
I'm gonna follow.
True love.
He'll always be my true love.
Forever.
From now until forever.
The whole congregation, including the Pope and Reverend Mother, bounce to the music. Dolores steps from side to side as she directs. The whole choir slowly raises up both hands. The crowd leaps to its feet. Dolores gestures to Mary's Robert and Patrick, who hug each other. Eddie stands beside the Monsignor, who turns around to see the Pontiff. The Pope stands up, clapping enthusiastically. Reverend Mother holds up her clasped hands to Dolores, who turns to the choir. She shrugs and gives them a closed-mouthed Cheshire Cat grin.
You know you make me wanna
shout.
Kick my heels up and
shout.
Throw my hands up and
shout.
The image turns into the cover of People magazine. A headline reads, Heaven Helps Me. Now a whole series of covers, Newsweek, Time, The National Enquirer, and Mirabella. Some of the headlines read, Heaven Helped Me, Holy Cow, Sisters Are Stunned, and None Exposed. On Rolling Stone, Dolores wears a leather jacket. The headline reads, Out of the Convent, Onto the Charts.
Come on now, come on now, I still remember.
This program has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, a service of the WGBH Educational Foundation. Descriptions read by Margot Stage. Credits roll. Associate producer, Cindy Gilmore. Cast, Whoopi Goldberg as Dolores, Maggie Smith as the Mother Superior, Kathy Najimy as Mary Patrick, Wendy McKenna as Mary Robert, Mary Wicks as Mary Lazarus, Harvey Keitel as Vince LaRocca, Bill Nunn as Eddie Souther, Robert Miranda as Joey, Richard Portnow as Willie, Choir Nuns, Ellen Albertini Dow, Carmen Zapata, Pat Crawford Brown, Prudence Wright Holmes, Georgia Crichton, Susan Johnson, Ruth Cobart, Susan Browning, Darlene Coldenhoven, Sherry Izzard, Edith Diaz, and Beth Fowler. Album and CD covers appear showing Dolores surrounded by nuns. Messages roll by. Place your orders now. Operators are standing by. More credits. Rose Parenti as Sister Alma, Joseph Marr as Bishop O'Hara, Jennifer Lewis as Michelle, Charlotte Crosley as Tina, Isis Carmen Jones as Little Dolores, and Eugene Greatack as the Pope. Production manager, John J. Smith. Musical numbers staged by Lester Wilson. Film edited by Colleen Halsey. Script supervisor, Esther Vivanti. Sound mixer, Darren Knight. Supervising sound editor, Bill Phillips. Music produced by Mark Shaman, Jimmy Vivino, and Joel Moss. Sister Mary Robert's vocals performed by Andrea Robinson.
Very quiet, girls.
Technical advisors, Sister Ada Garrity and Reverend Martin Greenlaw. Re-recorded by Buena Vista Sound.
All right, now, come on, bassist. I want you to do it.
Heatwave by Brian Holland, Lamont Dozier, and Edward Holland. My Guy by William Robinson, Jr. I Will Follow Him by Norman Gimbel, Arthur Altman, Jacques Plante, J.W. Stoll, and Del Roma. Rescue Me by Carl Smith and Raynard Miner, performed by Fontella Bass. Gravy by Cal Mann and Dave Appel, performed by Dee Dee Sharp. Roll With Me, Henry by Etta James, Hank Ballard, and Johnny Otis, performed by Etta James. Shout by the Isley Brothers. Home Alone by Tom Malone. Just a Touch of Love by Robert Clavillis, performed by CNC Music Factory. If My Sister's in Trouble by David Barrett and William Clift, performed by Lady Soul. Bar None by Jimmy Vivino. Soundtrack available on Hollywood Records. Copyright 1992. Touchstone Pictures, all rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures, Distribution Incorporated.